Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Ooh, welcome back, sports fans, to another show to the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe we have a great show for you guys today? The 2021 NFL Draft is in the book, so we're recapping it real quick. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1... We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! High fly ball in the right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship. He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitch of free throws, cuz they're free. Sode 330, coming hot at you guys in Sode 329. And I'm joined on this one by Alex Tossman, Rock Disopolis, and Nikki Snacks Kreider. And not only was it a big week and weekend for the NFL draft, it's kind of a big weekend for us a little bit. We kind of hit a little sweet spot on TikTok. We had our little shining moment. I hope it's not little. I hope it continues.
Boys are going viral.
Yeah, and it's kind of hilarious because some of our non-actor friends are like in these videos, and I know like I thought the content's like really funny. I'm happy with what like the product we put out. People have really been enjoying it. We started a fight between the Lions and the Cowboys fans. The Lions commented on that video multiple times. Like people tagged
the actual Lions.
The actual Lions commented. I have a photo. I'll send it to you. I think it's put in our group text. They commented multiple times on it. I think someone's like, when are the Lions going to comment on this? And they were like, we already did. With like one of like the straight faced smiley emoji.
We had someone do a duet with it. We had a couple people do some duets.
Yeah, we had like
it.
Three people do duets. All of them were extremely creepy. But shout out to those people for the effort. We appreciate. I hate to say we're creepy. I just didn't understand them. They were kind of just looking at us and smiling at the camera. So maybe that means like they were like enjoyment.
Yeah, one guy had like a green screen behind him and like his janky microphone set up, and he was just watching our video and like kind of not even like really laughing, kind of like mumble laughing, like
yeah. It was
he also has the weird. Dirtiest shirt on I think I've seen in a while.
Really?
But he also got like 73 likes.
Yeah, shout That's out to
it
his
was,
family.
It was the dirty shirt. I think people were just puzzled. They were like, "What's up?" I don't know what's up, but I'm gonna like the video.
Shout out to his TikTok family.
Yeah, I was ready for him to kind of replicate what I did with the Patriots day one draft reaction. To our video based on his stature, based on like the way he was just standing and like looking at the camera, but that never happened.
It's good that our acting skills are finally going to use though.
Yeah.
People can actually see what we've been working on for 4 years in Los Angeles.
I was talking about it somebody just in Los Angeles. I mean, my freaking whole life. I was talking to somebody about it and we were like, how do we separate ourselves? Kind of the conversation we had, just so, I mean, I guess people could know, like give our takes, but you know, how do we give them in a fun way? And we kind of we're trying now going forward to combine our skills as actors and our skills as podcasters and sports analysts into one mold and give them through sketches. It's kind of, it is pretty unique.
We have a very particular set of skills.
Very particular.
As Liam Neeson would say.
Yeah, Liam Neeson's. But yeah, really fun week for us.
If you don't watch our TikToks, we'll come find you.
Yeah.
And we would.
Yeah, I sent it to one of our friends who wasn't in the video, but he's like boys with our other friend, and it's like he was like it's hilarious to watch him try and act. And I was like, I thought he did pretty well. Some of the reactions these guys, like one of our friends who was so one of our friends Mikey, who was super nervous, really had that rage in him. I was like, damn. And he was like, how'd I do, guys? And we're like, yeah, you did great. That was awesome.
He channeled his inner Nicholson.
Yeah, he really went.
He's ready to go.
He's ready to go. But yeah, big week draft. We were all talking beforehand. The Kentucky Derby happened. That looked like a lot of fun. You know what I saw? Miles Teller was like in Aaron Rodgers' squad at the Kentucky Derby because him and Woodley are like homies from
their boys.
Yeah, what movie were they?
The Divergent series they did.
Yeah, yeah, that was what it was.
And The Spectacular Now.
And The Spectacular Now, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was going to say Fault in Our Stars, but that's Ansel Elgort, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
We're about one degree of separation from our boy Miles Teller, right?
I think is it 1.5?
Yeah.
Josh and I met him at the Super Bowl.
Oh, we did. We've actually met him. Yeah,
we dapped him up.
That makes us about like another degree of separation from Woodley, which makes us 2 degrees of separation from Rodgers.
Actually, we're one.
We're one from Rodgers.
Well, Rotman.
Yeah, like, OSDB Sports, which is popping off. People are really excited about that.
Let's go,
Rodgers. Yeah. Rodgers, you know, he's getting really involved in some business endeavors. Clearly, you know, still celebrity host of Jeopardy. He's got OSDB Sports rolling out. State Farm always. He's just a savvy business guy.
I think this is a good topic to talk about. There was a lot of rumor. Yeah, before the draft started, hours before the draft went down, that he wanted out of Green Bay. And people were scrambling to figure out if the rumors were true, if a team was going to trade for him, you know, give their first round pickup to get Rodgers. And a lot of talk was that Denver would do it. And Schlereth even said that this is almost a lock, putting his integrity on the line.
I think we threw that.
Haven't seen it happen yet, but I mean, it could make sense to why they didn't draft a quarterback at the number 9 spot.
Yeah. I think they're in position. I think another team in position to do it, and I know they're in the NFC, and that's kind of unlikely for the Packers to deal Rodgers in conference. But if one team, what team, Nick?
Well, at first, I thought the Niners could have been them.
Yeah, the Niners don't have the capital. They have the number 3 pick, but after that, the Niners don't have another pick till 2024 in the first round. So it's really outside that 3 pick. It's like, what are you doing? And they already have Jordan Love. Yep. So they're going to use that pick for Kyle Pitts. You're not trading Rodgers for Pitts in like the 24 first round pick of the Niners.
I think most of the people that were on board with that rumor know his relationship with Shanahan.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the thing for me, though, is a team to watch out for is the New York Football Giants.
I was going to say the same thing.
They pick up that other first-round pick from the Bears, so now they have 2 next year. So it's 2 in 2022. They'll have 23. They can – we all say this all the time. I don't think any of us are bought into Daniel Jones. They get Tony. They have Galladay. They have Saquon. They have Ingram. Slayton, Shepard. They have a bevy of weapons. They spent a high draft pick on Andrew Thomas. They have Solder back. The defense is good. This is a team, and it's in a division that's winnable. This is a team that can win now, and if anyone puts themselves ahead of the others in that division, you could sweep the division. You can go 6-0 in that division, and that is how the Patriots made the playoffs every damn year. And if they had Aaron Rodgers, it would be a lock that they won the division, or as close to it as possible.
Teams in that division to look out for, them and the football team.
That's possible.
Quarterback.
Both of those teams should be willing to give up a king's ransom.
Yeah, from the murmurs that we heard from Schlereth and others, it doesn't seem like they want to dish within conference, but if the offer is good enough, you have to entertain it.
Yeah, and they took a receiver in round 3, Amari Rodgers, a guy we all like out of Clemson, but again, they went cornerback and they went center, and they really didn't seem like they were appeasing Rodgers, at least in the first 2 rounds, again. Like, everyone was like, finally, they took a receiver in round 3 after, like, 2 years. They have Jordan Love there. I think what's come out is Rodgers won't return as long as their GM is still there. And I don't know. I'd be shocked if they fired their GM. Look, they almost went to the Super Bowl last year. It's still a good football team all around. Obviously, Rodgers is the MVP, and trading him is kind of nuts. He's 37, but Brady's playing into his 40s. Rodgers could have 4 or 5 more years left. But that defense is good. Like, that pass rush is very good. Obviously, you have Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, they just locked up. It's going to be interesting. I would be shocked if they traded him before the season, but if they do, football team, Giants, and the Broncos are teams to look out for, I'd say.
I also hear the Raiders, too. I hear that's a destination that he's interested in. And you can never put it past John Gruden to make a move like that.
Yeah, I'm not a Derek Carr fan. Never have been. But I don't know. That team is a weird organization. When we could kind of get into the draft, I think we're going to go teams we liked, teams we didn't like. And I'll start there. I think that was a team. I love the Merrick pick they got in the second round, but that was one team that I wasn't super stoked about. I thought that Leatherwood pick was a bit of a reach. I think they clearly wanted Elijah Vera Tucker, who the Jets jumped from 23 to 14 to get, giving two third rounders to the Minnesota Vikings. But again, Leatherwood's a guy they probably could have gotten early in the second round. There were teams that were still moving up. You could have moved back a bit to get him. And I still think that was a bit, I know they had holes in the offensive line, but I feel like that was a bit of a reach for a defense that is just super lackluster. Again, you pick up Merrick, who many had as the top safety. He ended up being the third safety that went after Richie Grant and after Javon Holland. Holland went first to the Dolphins in the second round. Then Richie Grant went second in the second round to the Atlanta Falcons. But I thought that was a bit of a reach. And that was really the only team that I like, I really don't love your first round pick. I like what you did in the second. And everything else was kind of just okay, not great. But there was a lot of, I thought a lot of teams did really, really well this year.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's hard to find teams that did bad.
You thought there were how many, Nick, that did bad?
I said it's hard to find teams that did
bad. Yeah. I mean, I think there were just picks or moves I didn't necessarily love. I didn't love – I mean, I understand it. You want to put pressure on the quarterback, but I didn't love the Colts going back-to-back ends. I thought they really needed to kind of get in there and get a tackle. The Titans, the interdivision team, went Dylan Raddins from North Dakota State right ahead of the Colts. And I have to imagine that was their pick. And they ended up going the defensive end from Vanderbilt. But again, and that Titans team too, I know like they lost a lot. They lost three corners this year. They lost Dory Jackson, Janoris Jenkins. They lose Desmond King. None of those guys are returning. So they had to fill those snaps. They took Elijah Molden in the third, and they took Caleb Fairley in the first, but they didn't go wide receiver either. So both those teams I had issue with. Those are like my three teams that I didn't necessarily love, but I don't think they did terribly.
I mean, it was tough for the teams that had limited picks to hit, in particular if they didn't have any first round picks.
Yeah.
You know, with teams like the Seahawks and the Texans.
Yeah.
Texans, the Rams.
You didn't like, I'll say this. The Texans obviously are a train wreck. They not only did they not have a first round pick, they didn't even have a second round pick.
Right.
They just had thirds. I will say them taking Davis Mills, a guy that we thought could sneak into the first round, not saying he's a first round talent, but many people thought he could, shows us that they're at least serious about this Deshaun Watson situation. It's a very big it's a very big reality that he's not going to play this year, and that shows that they're serious. So at least I respect them going quarterback. They don't have much of a choice.
When it comes to legal matters, from a regular person, from a civilian, not an athlete that's not under the microscope, those things take long. I mean, they sometimes drag out for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I'm sure the process is a little bit more sped up because he's a star player in the NFL, but you can't expect this all to go down in the off season. You know, this news came out in like February, March.
Yeah.
Right here, and just fast forward to the NFL season and think it's all going to be all brushed over. Like if this is still going on, there's no way that he rolls out there as a starting quarterback, right?
Well, the thing with the you bring up the legal portion, and that could take a long time, but the NFL and the judicial system in the United States are two different things, obviously. And the NFL can move to act and suspend Deshaun Watson until things are sorted out. I'm sure they don't want to play that hand right away. I'm sure they want to get a little more information, hence them not acting yet. But it was a good insurance move by the Texans. But unfortunately, they have so many holes. So at what point are you just like, anybody they picked, it was like, all right,
they could possibly be the worst team in the NFL next year.
Yeah. Deshaun Watson not playing? What would you guys say? Would you say so?
Yeah. It seems like, I mean, who is your quarterback? Is it Davis Mills? Is he?
Yeah.
Is he going as a, you know, the, what, 63rd or 65th pick? Where was he? 67th, I think.
He's a sixth quarterback taken. Around him, Mon, Trask were day two guys. And look, guys like Trey Lance, who's the number 3 overall pick. Guy like Justin Fields, who's the number 11 overall pick. They're not playing. Mac Jones, 15. They're not playing dang one.
Right.
They may not even play all year.
People are pressing them to not play all year.
Yeah. Only Wilson and Lawrence are going to play from the jump. Which, again, kind of, we'll get into the positive in a bit, but one team, I just think, and I want to ask you guys this, from like least pressure to most pressure, or most pressure to least pressure, where do you rank the QB, the teams that took QBs in round one? Like, where would you rank them from most pressure on the franchise to least? Because I have the Niners and the Jets head and shoulders above the other three. Like the Jets, you better be right. Because you not only passed on Lance, who went number 3, but you passed on Fields, who had as close to a flawless career without winning the Natty in college as you can have. And then Mac Jones, who, had that 1 year, but he was good when he filled in for Tua and won the national championship. It's tough. You better have hit on him. And BYU, is not New York. And I know you just can't tell. You can't tell how someone's going to be till they step out and they deal with that New York media. And it sounds lame, but that is just – it's just a different ball game. Playing in New York, like Lindor, to kind of crossboard it, Lindor's played for the Mets for like less than 30 games. They're already booing him. They are booing him when he steps up to the plate because he's batting under 200. It is a tough place to play. So you better be right with this BYU kid. I would say them, the Niners, and the other three kind of
– I don't know why you're not including the Chicago Bears. How can I mean?
I would say the Bears are three.
They got the high value pick, right? Because a lot of people were saying in the scouting breakdown of these quarterbacks that Justin Fields was the second most talented, mm-hmm. in particular prior to this past offseason, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone was saying that he was second and had the chance to be even go ahead of Trevor. I mean, this we're talking about like a year and a half ago,
yeah,
2 years ago. But this is their chance, right? They missed on Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
They, on Trubisky and Foles and now Justin Fields, have traded a total of 9 picks for quarterbacks.
It's a lot.
You better hit on this guy because,
charm.
Yeah, this is kind of it.
I think it's kind of like a reversal situation, not saying that Zach Wilson's going to be Mitch Trubisky. But it's kind of a reversal situation where, like, teams moved up to get Watson and Mahomes. They move up to get Justin Fields. I think we could look back, and I'm not saying Wilson or Lance are going to bust because you just have to see how they're going to do. But I think we could look back and see Fields really being a dynamic quarterback in this league. Because like you're saying, we're not too far removed from him not only being, like, the number two guy, but some people were saying there was that small potential that he could overtake Trevor Lawrence. And he dominated Trevor. Trevor Lawrence had a great game against Ohio State, but Fields had an unworldly game to go to the national championship in that first round of the college football playoff. So we could look back. I agree with you.
You got a new coach. You got a new regime coming in with the quarterback. So in my mind, New York obviously brings on this pressure. I think both of those teams did what they needed to do.
Chicago's same too.
Yeah. Chicago's a lot of history in that city, right? A lot of history of recent years having shitty quarterbacks and having the rest of your roster look really, really good. And a lot of it has been with the same head coach. I think that the good thing that both those teams did is they went and got an offensive lineman for their new quarterback immediately. The Bears traded up to get Tevin Jenkins, yes. who I think was a first-round talent.
Yeah.
The Jets, whether you like the value of the trade or not, they went and got the guy that they wanted.
Well, now their left side is fully...
Wherever you want to play him. If you want to play him at right guard, you can do that too.
Yeah, we have him at left guard. You could pull him when Zach Wilson rolls out. And now you've Becton him on the left side. Regardless. Yeah. I think I thought it was a good move to go up and get the guy.
Line, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, which is when the Jets were good, they had Mangold and they had DeBrickashaw Ferguson. They did that in one draft. Right. But I think I agree with you. It's a lot of picks to go up and get. But the Niners did the same thing. They gave up a lot of picks. And obviously Jimmy G has major injury issues, and I don't think he's a premier quarterback, but he did go to the Super Bowl. I don't know if he took you there, but he went there with you as your quarterback. So it's a lot to give up when you already have a guy in the building who's shown that he can, you know, help get you to the final dance.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. I think part of that is a little bit different for me. The feelings are different because they made the move before the draft started.
Mm.
And once the draft started, you knew they were going QB. So at that point, it's you got to pick the guy that you think is the best fit for you.
Yeah.
And for them, it was Trey Lance. And it's a risky pick, just like Zach Wilson's a risky pick. Just like taking Mac Jones and Justin Fields is also a risky pick.
Oh, yeah, you're full on risk. There's only one team that's really not risking it because – again, he's as close to a sure thing right. as we've seen since Andrew Luck. But again, you never like, – everyone thought Jamarcus Russell was going to come into the building and revive Oakland and save the day, and he could not have been any worse.
Yeah.
There have been so many quarterbacks in the history of the NFL draft. Like, I remember I don't remember. I wasn't really watching it. But you watch back on YouTube in the 99 draft, they boo the shit out of McNabb because they didn't take Akili Smith instead of
that's
him.
That's hilarious.
It's hilarious, the Eagles fans. So yeah. The Jets, I hope they get it right for my father's sake because I don't know how much more he can deal.
I think the Jamarcus Russell era is a little different too. I mean, obviously, you want to believe that an NFL team does their due diligence and does their homework on guys and does character tests. And Jamarcus Russell was a great athlete. And I mean, he played great ball at LSU, but it also came down to the work ethic, right, and the character issues that he had. And I saw a funny tweet the other day, and I didn't even know this, is like, like TBD to the, or TBT to the, when the Raiders basically gave Jamarcus Russell blank copies of game film. And the next morning he told them that he watched blitz packages on that.
Go watch, like, go watch Kirk Morris and the linebacker tell that story. He was on the team when that happened. It is so fucking funny.
They gave it to him as a test. It was a test.
Yeah, it was a test. It was like, are you going to lie to us? Are you actually going to watch it? And he's like, yeah, I watch blitz packages on this.
Blank tape. Could you imagine, like, you're a franchise and you have
you're a number one overall pick.
You're in a NFL franchise and you're into the summer of this kid's first season and you're already having to pull these tests out and he flops.
It's tough.
That is crippling.
It destroyed that franchise for a while too. They were dog shit for years.
They still have not. They still kind of overreach. And if they were overreaching and their picks were hitting, that'd be one thing. But a lot of these guys haven't hit yet. So
right. Yeah. No, to my point though, I think it's a little different these days. You know, they've done all the tests they can on guys before they draft them.
Yeah.
You know, with Zach Wilson, I don't think there's going to be any issues there. If there's any issues, it's just the style of play, you know, catching up to the speed of the NFL. I mean, he played in BYU and maybe the talent isn't as deep as it usually is in the NFL with guys who are at bigger conferences, but I don't think that he's going to have an issue. For me, the team that has the least pressure, and I think this is the obvious one, is the Patriots, because they got Cam. You know, they're at the 15 pick. They didn't have to trade up. I was thinking this entire time that they would have to trade up, and they didn't. They sat there and got the guy that they wanted. But I think with the most pressure, it's the teams that traded up. The Niners trading up to 3, and the Bears trading up to 12?
11. Yeah.
11.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're giving up some picks to get the guy that you want. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, then you've lost the opportunity on, you know, 2 to 3 other guys that you could have had.
100%. 100%. Yeah, we spoke about it one other time when they rolled out, the Rams rolled out the guys that they traded for RG3.
Against for the football team. Yeah, RG3. They rolled out like 5 guys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could totally backfire. And we talked about it last episode that, you know, quarterbacks are not a sure thing in the first round.
Right.
God, no.
There's a lot of guys that miss, so someone's bound to flop. And obviously, you know, we think Trevor Lawrence will be the guy that he is. But for the other 4, we'll just see what happens. I mean, a lot of it comes down to the system that they get in place and the coach that's going to be there and the success of the rest of the team. I mean, there's a lot of different factors. And Mac Jones is obviously set up for the most success because he's got Bill and he's got a good team and he's got a good mentor. And, you know, I think they might need to add some more offensive weapons, but regardless, I think that he's probably got the least pressure.
He's also not the first overall pick, right? Like, this next year, right, we will be watching Trevor, whether the Jags are good or not.
Right.
If they're bad, we're not going to. Yeah. Yeah. If they're bad, we're not going to be like, oh, Trevor Lawrence is flop. But 3 years in, if he's still not performing, we'll have been watching him very intently for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Mac Jones, there's just,
he's not going to play right away.
No chance.
And I don't think,
like, there's questions of, like, Baker Mayfield being a flop because he was taken number one overall, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's played better than Darnold, and he's played better than, I think he's played better than Goff, and I think he's played better than Wentz at times. And, yeah, every now and then, like, the conversation comes in if those guys are flops, but, like, I rarely hear it.
Yeah, I don't
think. And look what hand he was dealt with his head coach at the time, right? I mean, that was a dog shit situation. And now you've got a good head coach. You've got Stefanski there turning things around. That we'll get into what their draft looked like. But that defense might be the best defense in the NFL next year.
That's ridiculous. Let's see.
That's the hat you put on, though, by getting drafted number one overall.
Absolutely.
You have to wear that weight of living up to the expectations. So
it's
almost a blessing for a guy like Mac Jones to be the 5th quarterback taken.
I don't think you could say Goff is a bust. He went to a Super Bowl and had a really good year when they did. I think Wentz looked like the MVP at times, but it's just injuries. I think of all these guys drafted as of late, the real guy you get to point to that's like the bust is Rosen.
Yeah.
And that was a mental makeup thing.
That's also, I think, a shitty, you know, hand that was dealt in.
Yeah. That's always a big thing too. We saw it with Liner. He had a shitty hand dealt to him when he went to Arizona. Obviously, Jeff Fisher had his issues with Vince Young, but Vince Young had his issues as well. I mean, it's a lot of where you end up. I mean, we heard our boy Ryan Leaf say it time and time again. We heard Jason Campbell say, had he gone somewhere other than Washington when he was drafted, he thinks he would have had way more success. It's a lot of where you end up as a quarterback. But I do think all these guys ended up in good spots, and I do think all the teams – and we'll go to Utah's because I know you liked one of these teams a lot. I think all these teams that drafted quarterbacks in the first round had good drafts.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I brought up the Vera Tucker. Then they picked more with that third pick.
Great pick.
Not that I was in love with what the Jets did. They picked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 DBs in a row, which
yeah.
That's okay. Interesting. You really need DB help, clearly. Let's hope you hit on those safeties because you took three of them. You don't need three safeties on
And they took one last year in the third round.
Starting. It's not a thing ever. But Elijah Moore was a good pick, and you know,
I mean, these days with defensive schemes, you can roll out, you know, two highs and then one hybrid.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily what they're going to do, but the defensive game has changed a little bit.
Yeah, that's where my question mark. I mean, any draft you can look at, and if you take a fine tooth comb over it, you can bring out questions. You know, especially with this draft because there were so many guys who didn't play last year. Sat out because of injury, because of COVID.
Yeah.
And that really, really shakes things up. It makes, you know, a guy like Walker Little able to be drafted at the 45th spot. Whereas if he had played, he hasn't played a full season of football since 2018, man. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But when he did, he was fantastic.
Yeah. The Jags, I think that was one of your teams, Toss. They crush. And everyone's like questioning the Etienne thing. But I think the Etienne pick was good.
It was a great pick. I was a little shocked because, I mean, they've got a cheap running back right now that's getting the job done in Robinson.
Right.
But
do we know how long that can go?
To keep those guys together is really cool, obviously. Yeah. Like, we put up a graphic on our Twitter, I think, of, like, the four teams that were able to keep the band together. You got the Bama boys that are in Miami now, Waddle and Tua.
Mm-hmm.
You got Etienne and Trevor Lawrence and the Jags. You've got Chase and Burrow in Cincinnati. And then there's one more.
On the Eagles, when Hurts played for
Hurts and Devontae Smith.
Yeah. No, I really liked what the Jags did, though. Maybe value wise for Etienne, it felt a little high. He's not the first RB taken. He also has tremendous upside. We talked about it last year when we were looking at players for the draft. I mean, that guy in the passing game is tremendous, and he's got breakaway speed that a lot of running backs in the NFL don't have. Tyson Campbell, they pick at the top of the second round. Love that as a DB. And then, of course, Walker Little, if this were a different draft, he could have been a first-round talent from the offensive tackle. And then you've got a guy like Cisco, who he fell to the third round for them, top of the third round, but he's a great safety, had some injury problems.
Yeah.
But when he's on the field, he's tremendous. So I really like you have to take risks. That's what they did. You know, they tack on two skill players and Jalen Camp and Luke Farrell at the end of the draft, try and bolster the defensive line with a guy out of USC and a guy out of UAB in the middle rounds. And yeah, I just really like what they did. And you can't take away that they drafted Trevor Lawrence, who in the last 10 years, as far as quarterback prospects go, he's the top of the list.
Yeah, and you know what? The thing with the Jags is you bring up the Walker Little point that he would have been a first-round pick. Cisco, I don't know, because like safeties fall.
Right.
Safeties, inside linebackers, tight ends at times, guards, they could be really talented players that just fall sometimes because they're running backs, quote unquote, easier to get later. Whereas like the edge guys, the tackles, now the wide receivers and the cornerbacks, we usually see early runs on them. But Cisco is a guy that could have gone earlier had he not gotten hurt. Tufelli is a guy that also didn't play. He's a D tackle, went fourth round out of USC. He could have gone earlier if he didn't, you know, if he had played. They took a lot of risks, but again, keeping Lawrence comfortable. He's playing right away and you want him to be as comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
So you get him his backfield mate. He's so used to Etienne. Etienne's a great checkdown guy, and I don't think James Robinson's a fluke.
No.
But Carlos Hyde's not the insurance guy there. That's not the thing. Him and Etienne, now you have two good running backs. You have LaVisca Chenault, who they use as a running back. I don't know how he's going to use them.
A lot of jet sweeps.
Yeah, they could use, look, Urban Meyer made Percy Harvin what he became. He saw Percy Harvin, utilized him at Florida, Chenault, even Etienne. He's going to want to use those guys like that. They have Chark. They have Marvin Jones. They have a lot of weapons for him, and they have a solid offensive line. I want to give you a hot take. I don't know if they could win the division this year, but I think they're close. I think this is a team that is close to being back. If Lawrence can be what everyone thinks he is, I think they're not next year, but the year after they can win the division. I don't think other teams in that division are that. We do Colts have question marks.
I think the Colts have a very stout D, and if as long as Carson Wentz slots in, my expectation is that he will be better than what Phil was last year and what Jacoby Brissett can be.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think he's got to hold the division for a little bit, while the Jags continue to build their team.
I love,
but they built it really quickly with this year.
I love the Campbell pick.
Yeah.
Nick, team you love. Give it to us. It's a big year for you, bro.
Is it? Why is that?
Padres are hot, and there's another team that did exceptionally well in this draft.
Oh, you want me to talk about the Chargers?
I was
saving for my last one, but I'll start with them. Yeah, I think the Chargers did a really good job. You know, not even just as a fan. I just think it in whole, you know, they got the guys that they set their eyes on early on. So like Rashawn Slater was a guy that, you know, was talked about being drafted to them the entire time. And for me, it was whoever the best offensive tackle was available. You know, when Sewell didn't get picked at the five, I was thinking, okay, well, maybe he's going to fall to us, you know, what teams conceivably take him, but the Lions actually get a steal there at seven and take him. And I was thinking potentially if the Chargers were to trade up, but I'm cool with the Rashawn Slater pick. And I even looked, you know, a lot of people were hyping him up because, and Coach Staley even talked about it, you know, he was able to defend himself really well against Chase Young in college. And I know it's just one guy, but it's one of the best defenders in all of football right now. I mean, defensive rookie of the year, he's a beast. And, you know, just the tape shows that he's able to go up against guys like that. So that was a great pick in the first round. And then they go out and get another potential first rounder, Asante Samuel Jr., who a lot of people had maybe go into the late first round, and ended up nabbing him with the second round pick. And I think that was something that was really valuable for them. And they wanted to look for secondary help. You know, there was talks that they could take JC Horn, potentially Patrick Surtain at the 13th pick. Those guys obviously weren't available. So, I mean, I'm happy with how that, you know, shaped out. Another pick that I love by them on in day two was Chris Rump from Duke. He's a great pass rusher. You know, he fits in that room really well with Bosa and Uchenna Nwosu and all of them. And I think those guys are going to have some good chemistry together. It's a good void. We had a void with Melvin Ingram leaving, and this is a good replacement, a young guy who, you know, plays at a big university, who's physical, who can get to the ball, and he's versatile too. I mean, he can slap back and play in coverage.
Yeah.
And he's a really fun guy. I looked at his, I guess his, you know how they always show the calls and all that. He had the most energy possible. Everyone was like saying what a great guy this guy is. So it's good to have a guy like that in the locker room. But, you know, top to bottom, it's a pretty sound draft. I think, you know, all 3 days they hit their needs. You know, they got a running back in the later round, Triadam Mizzou, who ain't bad. And, you know, about my take about running backs is I don't love people taking running backs in the first round because you can always get lucky in the later rounds, or you can even find an undrafted guy. So I think this guy Roundtree complements Eckler pretty well. You know, Eckler can be that, you know, that kind of Swiss Army knife weapon, and Roundtree can kind of be the downhill runner that, you know, bangs out first downs. One pick I was questioning a little bit was the wide receiver pick, Josh Palmer in the third round. He's a wide receiver.
I like it. I like it a lot, honestly. I think it's a good pick.
It's a good pick, but I think they passed up on guys that they could have gotten that I think were better. You know, like Tylan Wallace, I loved him out of Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Maybe I only like him because I'm used to him torching us as Texas fans, but, you know, there's guys out there that I think they could have gotten. But from what I hear about, you know, Josh Palmer is that he's big, physical, runs really well. So we'll see. I mean, he slots in probably as the fourth wide receiver coming into the season, you know, with other guys in front of him. But like I said in the last show, Justin Herbert is known to make unknown guys, you know, get some star power. You know, there's guys that pop out of nowhere and kind of create their careers. But I think it's a good draft for them. You know, they get the depth they need, you know, on the offensive line, and I think they address all their needs.
Yeah, I agree. Kuiper had him at one, and I think it's very fair. I'm with you, Toss. I think the Palmer pick, I understand the sentiment towards like a guy like Wallace, who we saw dominate. I think Palmer playing at Tennessee, and a lot of people are saying this, where he didn't have elite quarterback play, and so it was really tough for him to put up the numbers other guys were.
That was one of the knocks.
That was one.
When I looked at the analysis, a lot of people said that there's a lot of, you know, it was a shaky quarterback room, and so you can't really ever get on the same page as the guy. If he went to university where Trevor Lawrence was playing, or Justin Fields, where he gets the same guy for 2-3 years,
yeah,
who knows? He could be one of the top receivers in
yeah.
the entire conference.
And that's one of those – that's one of those knocks where that has nothing to do with the player's talent, right? That just has to to do with where they end up playing college, right? And a guy like Tylan Wallace, Oklahoma State, obviously we know is pass happy offense. Look at what the Steelers did. They draft James Washington. How much of an impact has that guy made in the three seasons he's played? Jeez. Little here, little there, but not what we expected him to be. So I like the pick. I really do. I think as a non-Chargers fan, you go after a wide receiver who can slot in and replace those guys who became names because Justin Herbert was throwing to him. Let's get him a third round talent and see what that guy can do.
He's a field stretcher.
There's another aspect too. There's another aspect too of playing in the SEC as a wide receiver playing in the SEC. They play against the best defensive backs that there are out there. You know, most of the best defensive backs come out of the SEC. The Bamas, the Auburns, the Georgias, the LSUs. You know, he sees those professional guys every single game. So
yeah,
I think there's a lot of edge there. I mean, kind of the same thing in the Big Ten as well, but better than most conferences. Like I guess I don't trust a Big 12 receiver as much as I would an SEC receiver.
Yeah, it's a freak show in the Big 12. It's like 50-50 every game.
Yeah,
the SEC is some. Look, there's a lot of the Georgia guys went early. Tyson Campbell's the first pick in the second round. Stokes is the end of the first round. It's a lot of great DBs that go and play the SEC football. I thought they crushed it, and I think they're rightfully so. I didn't agree with Kuiper's bottom team, which was the Steelers, and I know you don't like running backs in the first round, but I thought they needed running back help, and I think Najee, if he is that guy, I think it's huge because Big Ben needs a run game. He's not a Big Ben of old, but
Is that one of yours, Josh?
Because I brought up Kuiper. I just wanted to gloss that quick. I'll go over my two teams real quick.
The worst offensive line running.
Yeah.
For the last 2 years in the NFL.
And they brought a center in.
Doesn't really matter who your running back is.
Yeah, they brought Freiermuth, though, a tight end, another guy that's like, you know, it's blocking tight ends are huge. Like Kittle's such a massive part of the Niners, not just because he's a good receiver, because he's a great blocker. But going into blocking, I thought the Vikings did a great job. I thought moving back, getting extra thirds, which they did well on. Darisaw was a guy that Nick, you know, I know you like Slater, but it was a guy you really liked for the Chargers as well. They pick him up at 23.
People thought they were going to pick at 14.
Yeah, he's going to slot in there at left tackle. I thought Wyatt Davis, again, we see guards drop all the time out of Ohio State. He's a guy that many people thought could go in the second. They get him in the third. I think Mond is good insurance. A lot of people thought, he's a very high-risk, high-reward kind of guy, a quarterback, and obviously he doesn't have to play right away. He's behind Kirk Cousins,
right.
And he learns from a good guy. Cousins, who's one of the top play-action quarterbacks in the NFL. Mond, who's a great athlete. I think it's a really good situation for him. They had issues with the pass rush. We thought they would kind of go Kwity Paye at 14. We thought they could maybe take like a Jalen Phillips. They move back. They go offensive line. Patrick Jones Jr. out of Pittsburgh is a guy that many people thought could go in the first round a year ago. Obviously drops a little bit. They pick him up in the third round. Chaz Surratt, linebacker out of UNC, another guy. I thought they crushed the third round. They had four picks in the third round. I think they hit on all of them.
Yeah.
And that shows a good trade to me. So I like the Vikings team a lot. And then Browns and Panthers were cool. I thought they did a good job. I really love the Dolphins. They didn't get Pitts or Chase, but I think Waddle has that rapport with Tua. Now you have Waddle. Now you have Parker. Now you have Fuller. And if all those guys are healthy, I know Fuller suspended for a little bit at the top of the season, but those are some athletes in that wide receiver room.
Yeah.
You know, you go out, you get Hunter Long, a solid tight end, another good blocking tight end. Eichenberg out of Notre Dame, another good tackle. And then you go and get Javon Holland, add some safety depth, and Jalen Phillips. Look, if Jalen Phillips doesn't like medically retire and come back and there aren't those injury questions, he's still on number 18. He could have been the first defensive player taken. He's that good. He was the number one prospect coming out of high school, and he was great at Miami. And had he not had to medically retire from UCLA, he could have been the first defender taken. So I love what the Dolphins did. I love what the Vikings did.
Yeah. I mean, you draft a guy with the first round pick. Some incentives to stay in the NFL,
yeah,
get paid, and continue to get paid.
Get money, get paid. Toss, second team.
There's a lot of teams, again, that we all liked. One team that I liked because it showed me, and this isn't because we caught a lot of flack on our TikTok, I liked their draft because it showed me that they have and are trying to establish with a new coach, Dan Campbell, an identity.
Yeah.
And they went so heavy on the line with their first three picks. The Lions picked Penei Sewell, who fell to 7, really, because he was touted as the best tackle in the draft. Now, I really think that I wouldn't have been surprised if Slater had gone before him, because there are some people that thought that Slater was the higher talent, which is one thing why I really like the Chargers draft, again, Nick, for you. But Sewell was most people would say he was the top tackle. He's that potential to be an all pro at the tackle position. Put him in at left tackle, protect your quarterback, protect your new asset, Jared Goff, that you just traded for. And then with the next two picks, they go defensive tackle. They out of Washington, and then a defensive tackle out of North Carolina State. And then they go DB out of Syracuse. And then they get, with the 112th pick, Amon-Ra St. Brown, which I think value-wise was, he kind of just fell to them, and they picked him, and they obviously needed receiver help. Some people thought that at 7, if Chase was there, they might go that route or go for Waddle. Neither of them were. They didn't go for Devonta Smith. They just picked who was there. You could see in that room that they were stoked to have Sewell. They really were really incredibly pumped.
Look, you want Goff to do well. You have Decker at left tackle.
Yeah.
Now you have Sewell at right tackle. He doesn't play left tackle right away. And I think the St. Brown pick is a great pick.
Yeah.
I think he could be the guy that we talk about. I'm not saying he's going to be Stephon Diggs, but a guy that's like taken in the fourth or fifth round. They're like, wait a second, why did that guy drop? He was so good at USC.
Yeah.
He's physical, and athletic. They
traded for Michael Brockers in the offseason too. I mean, this team is just, they are establishing that they want to win on the line. And with Dan Campbell as their head coach, I think that they can easily do that. And it's something to be a gritty team in the NFC North. It is a requirement.
Yeah, Onwuzurike and McNeil are two big boys, athletic boys, a defensive tackle. Now you have so much depth there.
Yeah.
Flowers, you have Okora. Yeah, I think I'm happy for him.
I thought it was a good draft for them.
Yeah. And you're number two team.
I loved what the Cowboys did.
Establishing an identity.
Establishing an identity of picking players who had questionable character issues. That's per usual with the Cowboys. Yeah. But Parsons, you know, they didn't have either of their guys, Surtain, or Horn. Horn went eighth, and then Surtain went ninth right after. So they didn't want to reach unfairly. So they trade back with the Eagles and kind of rook the rest of the NFC East. They get Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
It was
all draft for them, and they were crushing it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily think that Kelvin Joseph was best available CB. I thought there were other guys who were more like sure bets to be a starting CB in the NFL. But he played against Devonta Smith and lined up really well with him in the SEC. He's an SEC talent, right? So he's seeing the best receivers, just like what we were talking about before. Yeah. And he's got the athleticism to be a lockdown corner across from Trevon Diggs. Then, you know, we need help on the defensive line. We go for Osa at UCLA. We go for Chauncey Golston at Iowa. Both guys who aren't incredibly athletic, but they do their job. And then it was really cool. Josh and I were watching the draft together when they picked Nashon Wright.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oregon State defensive back. And obviously we interviewed. We got the chance, all three of us, to interview
Coach Beam.
Mm-hmm. Last chance you, and Nashon played for him, so that was really great. And then Jabril Cox was just a really good value pick.
He's right there.
Yeah.
I mean, people were talking about him getting drafted in the 60s, and he falls to 115. He had some injury issues.
He could end up being the biggest steal of the entire draft.
I hope you're right, Nick. I really do. And he's an LSU Tiger, so of course I love that.
They have depth on defense now. It's not like they had bad players. Like, DeMarcus Lawrence is good. Randy Gregory, when he is on the field, is good. I like Diggs. I thought that was a good pick last year. Jalen is kind of hit or miss because he's just kind of broken. I love Leighton. The Keanu Neal thing is going to be interesting. He comes over with Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
But now that you have depth on the defensive side of the football, and Parsons is that kind of guy that you could kind of stick in any linebacker slot, that's a real difference maker. And you pick up an extra third, and you get another body in there.
That was great. That was great.
And you dick the Giants.
We dick the Giants, which was fantastic. I was bummed because we were all watching and we're all in a group text and we're like, how is Ronnie Perkins, who we watched, right?
Yeah.
Torch the Longhorns and all the other Big 12 teams, fall past two of the Cowboys picks, but got to trust what they know what they're doing.
Yeah, go get your guys.
They take, they make the right picks for the right reasons.
It just sucks when Bill takes them, so you kind of know it.
That he's going to be sick.
He's going to be sick, yeah. Nick, who was your second team now, brother?
I like what the Ravens did. The boys in Baltimore got some great guys. Rashad Bateman was a guy that I was really high on early on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've said it before that I don't think there's a big drop off between him and the other three guys that were taken earlier.
Yeah.
And the receivers. He's a big physical receiver that reminds me of a guy like Odell kind of. So that's a pick in the first round, at the end of the first round. And then they get another first round pick, Oe out of Penn State, and he's a great pass rusher. You know, they've likened him to Bud Dupree out of Pittsburgh, and so I think, you know, that's a great guy that can create some noise out there and you know, put pressure on the quarterback for them. That's the kind of the identity of Baltimore for a long time. So it's great that they have another guy like that. Mm-hmm. Ben Cleveland's another guy that was on a lot of people's radars early on. You know, didn't have, you know, the best senior or the best season last year, but you know, he was a guy early that was being talked about being maybe a second rounder and potentially first rounder at the beginning of the season. He ended up falling to them at 94. They got my boy Tylan Wallace that we just talked about. Right. I mean, just adding more weapons for Lamar Jackson is so key. I mean, they got Hollywood Brown, they got Duvernay. Now you add a guy like Tylan Wallace and a guy like Bateman, two really big physical receivers. You got two speedy receivers inside and the two outside. So I think that could be one of the biggest threats in the NFL for being one of the best receiving rooms there is out there.
Yeah, Sean Wade at the 160th pick was a steal. So, yeah.
Another guy Sean that Wade I was like, Sean Wade could be a first-round pick last year.
Yeah. So Sean Wade was another one, and he's a big physical, you know, corner out there that I think is going to do really well for them. You know, another one that fell really far that, I mean, these days I think it's so key to have a tall cornerback out there. You know, there's guys that are short that kind of play the slot, but you want a guy who's just as big as the receivers out there, and he's 6'1" and a half, you know, can get out there and play ball.
Yeah, especially when teams, you know, they have receivers who basically just thrive in the red zone, who they bring in once they get past the 30 yard line, and they go in and you know they're going to throw a fade to him every single play, sometimes three plays in a row. You need that big DB.
Yeah, absolutely. Now I kind of threw mine out at the beginning. Any other teams that you guys didn't really like? I know I kind of snagged yours, Toss. We're talking before him about the Texans. We mentioned them. But any other teams that you guys or picks you didn't necessarily love or you guys thought it was pretty good? Because I thought teams did pretty well all around. I think it's tough to, like, really pinpoint a team that, like, oh, you sucked.
Yeah. There's definitely some guys I think that went undrafted that I was surprised about. But
Dylan Moses was like, what?
Dylan Moses, Tyler Vaughns out of USC.
Yeah. Marvin Wilson out of Florida State.
Yeah, I mean, there's some great guys out there that are going to get a chance to make a roster that didn't get drafted. I mean, we see it every year.
Give me a seven on Dylan Moses.
Oh, dude, I'll
give me a seventh-round pick on him. Like, someone take him, please.
I was a bit surprised with what the Saints did.
I thought they had a kind of weak.
Peyton Turner is not a guy that a lot of people had being drafted in the first round. Now, they do lose Hendrickson, so they need to supplement that loss in some way. I thought that Paulson Adebo, who they drafted in the
another guy,
the third round, is a good pick. They go Ian Book, which, like, to me kind of feels like a waste. But sometimes you gotta throw a dart on a guy. The entire draft is throwing darts. But I don't know if he's the right guy that you want as your, like, third string QB. Because it seems like from everything I saw out of him in college that he'll live in that spot for the rest of his career. In which case, why not go for a player that you actually think could start?
Give me a wide receiver. Right. Again, like, they don't address that position. Like, I don't understand. No offense to Tre'Quan Smith, but he's not a number two guy.
Right.
They don't have, like, I like the Pete Warner pick. I thought the Adebo pick was good. I think Turner could be good. We'll see. I mean, they've hit on Cameron Jordan. They hit on Hendrickson. He wasn't a first rounder, but they hit on Davenport, who's a first rounder. I think their defense is sound.
I didn't hate their picks, but I was just kind of like, meh, eh. Yeah. I hope they're good.
Yeah. I mean, you got to trust Peyton. You think he knows what he's doing, but I wish they took a receiver. I think it's a good team to bring up. Moments you loved in the draft. I'll go quick. Zaven Collins, when he was drafted, I watched his, like, little phone call, and that guy he literally sounds like a killer. He sounded so scary on the phone with that card. The Cardinals, like, front office was intimidated by him. He's like, let's go kill some people. Let's kill them out there. I'm ready to go to war. And it's like, Jesus Christ, dude. It's like, I could put two bettors, no prop bet on betonline.ag of, like, you know, who's going to lead the league in penalties next year, because Zaven Collins could be a healthy pick, but he sounds like an absolute beast, and we hit on that pick on our mock draft. And I just love I love all the phone calls. Like, I get, like, on always I got, like, emotional. So I think there's a lot of really good ones. Any other moments you guys liked?
There was a pick that the Kansas City Chiefs made, and it was a couple that went up there. And the guy proposed to his wife on the podium.
That's awesome.
That's like the biggest event that the world, well, at least in America, that America has had in quite some time.
Yeah, and for, like, a diehard Chiefs fan, like, to be up there, you're a diehard.
Yeah.
And they were clearly diehard Chiefs fans, and so I'm sure it meant so much to them, you know, to go out there and get hitched, get engaged.
It's not. Yeah. I can't foresee myself doing a public kind of proposal, but if you're like about that, it's a good spot for it.
I thought that all in all, there were obviously like a bunch of the super fans, Nick, like you're talking about, that would walk up with Goodell, and make the picks. Sometimes it was a little weird because they like didn't say anything and were just kind of chilling up there and got to like sit in his chair, which is cool for them. But just as a like something to watch was a little weird. But other times when they got to talk, I thought I just appreciated that a lot of them really relished that they were in Cleveland and were shouting out the Browns, and the Browns fans were loving it. The crowd was loving it. I think all in all, the just general vibe of the event was really positive and a lot of fun.
They crushed it.
Yeah, they did a great job. They bounced back really. I mean, not like last year was bad. They did the best they could with the virtual draft, but they really crushed it this year. Having all those guys in their pods.
It's awesome.
Waddle and Chase look so swag.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the most underrated things about the draft is like how these guys look, how they present themselves with their suits. And man, those guys are so swag.
Waddle's a cold motherfucker.
And some of the post-draft, like after getting drafted, the prospects saying their two cents. And for me, you know, I watched a guy like Rashawn Slater, and Nick, I was thinking of you, and he's like, you know, they ask him, what do you have to say to Justin Herbert? And he says, I got your back. Like that kind of stuff as a fan just amps you up.
Herbert's pumped.
I think this is going to be, I think this is going to be a talented draft. I think we're going to look back at like.
I've asked myself this question, like put myself in a quarterback shoes. If you're a young quarterback in the NFL, like say Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, you know, those type of guys, what your team needs to draft a receiver and an offensive tackle, offensive lineman. Which one are you more pumped if they get?
Tackle. Keep me upright. I'm not trying to get hit and knocked to the ground. I want to stay up. I want to stay healthy. Let me die on my sword. Like if I suck, let me suck because I'm not playing well, a la Mitch Trubisky. I don't want to like be regarded as a bust because like Carson Wentz, who couldn't stay upright and was getting sacked lunch every five seconds.
Now, with that being said, I mean, obviously Burrow is really happy to be teamed up with his former teammate Ja'Marr Chase. But if you take the bias away, that offensive line sucks.
Yeah, so it blows. They probably should have taken Sewell, but they go and get the offensive tackle from Clemson in the second round, so you can't necessarily poo-poo it. They did address the need just later, and they go make Burrow happy with a guy who could be that he could be that receiver that's like an elite talent.
I agree.
And they get Osai.
I think he will be. So. And they get, I was about to say, and for us, any watching any Texas player, and there were a lot of Texas players drafted.
It's awesome.
That's
shout out to those guys.
Amazing. Shout out to all those guys. Shout out to Sam for getting drafted.
That was awesome. Super I was cool. So nervous. The Colts, obviously.
You know what? And the cool thing is, with Carson Wentz's track record, Sam might get an opportunity to play.
It's the perfect spot. I think it's a great spot for him. I think we saw guys.
Frank, right?
Yeah.
Carson Wentz, you know, they've got some good receivers out there. So Carson goes down. I think I got to learn from because Carson's accurate too.
Yeah, he's good.
Take some tools away from Carson.
I think Sam's a gamer. I think Sam's a good locker room guy. And we saw a guy like Julian Newman go undrafted. And so it could have very easily happened to Sam. And I think his character is what helped propel him into like late draft. Happy to see him go. Happy to see Osai go. Cozmi go to the football team.
Look, a lot of these Longhorns could end up playing next year.
Caden Stearns. I mean, thought that was a sneaky pick by the Broncos.
The Falcons defense is pretty thin. Taquan Graham might get some run.
No, he's getting run, dude. That defense stinks.
Yeah. And Osai's a
Cowboys. Cowboys signed Brandon Eagles undrafted free agent.
Yeah, I knew.
Probably not going to play, but hey, good for him.
I would go to guarantee you, if Ellinger was in round seven, Jerry would have taken him. I'll bet you anything. Really? If he was there in round seven, Jerry would have kept him in Texas.
See you, Ben DiNucci.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Great draft, though. Nick, we missed you, obviously. I know, but Nick had a wedding. How was it? Was it good?
Yeah, it was fun.
How was Austin? Nice.
Austin's great. It was rainy. Not the street. It was raining.
Ugh.
Yeah.
But you get to go on the lake?
I went on the lake, but it was raining. So
yeah, so moderate lake.
Did it rain at all? What was
that? Did you get to eat any of the food spots we like at least?
Had some barbecue. That's really the only place. Like, home cooked meals is like always great.
Good family.
But I also was at a wedding too. Yeah. So it was a wedding and the rehearsal dinner. I mean, those are two dinners that got knocked out. And then I went to my old work, my pizza place I used to work at. That was great. It's pretty fire. 600 degrees pizzeria and draft house. Check it out.
Do they give you high fives? Are you welcome with open arms?
Yeah, of course.
It's awesome.
I'm still in their fantasy football league too. So it's
oh yeah, yeah,
old man league, and it's my biggest buy-in, and I always dominate it, and then I always lose in the championship.
Any nice. Of these rookies that you're looking to nab in a fantasy draft, Nick?
I mean, any of those top four receivers that I think are safe picks.
I think Tony's interesting. I don't know how much he'll break out in year one, but I think he's going to be good for the Giants. I think Bateman could be
solid. I think Devontae Smith is interesting because just the way that the Eagles
they have nothing. Play,
I think Hurts needs to, you know, create a rapport with a guy like that. So that's a good pick. And obviously Burrow and Chase are already on the same page.
Yeah.
I'm hesitant to take Waddle just because I don't know how well Tua's going to play.
Yeah, that's a good point. I will throw out the running backs. I think Najee's obviously going to get minutes.
I think Pitts is probably going to end up being a top five tight end in the league.
Wow. Right
off the bat.
Wow. That's the take we need.
There's a big drop off though. I mean, you look at the top five tight ends right now, it's Kittle, Kelsey, Waller,
Andrews. Andrews is a good fantasy
Mark
tight end.
Andrews,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Mark Andrews. You got Hunter Henry and Jonnu, who could hopefully be good. We'll see.
Well, there you go. I think Pitts is already better than those guys.
Nick. I like Najee because he's going to get the touches. I like, obviously, I'm curious to see how they use Etienne. Javonte Williams could be a sneaky back to take late out of Denver. He's going to be the number two back. He's going to jump Royce Freeman. He's going to be right behind Melvin Gordon. He's a bruiser. And then Michael Carter, also the other UNC back for the Jets, because that's literally their starting running back.
The Jets got two Michael Carters. One from Duke, one from USC.
It's awesome.
Classic Jets. Anyway, fans out there, drag both feet in bounds. Swing on a full count. Rip that puck at that putt. It's your PKs because they're free. And it's your free throws. Why, guys?
Because they are free.
Because they're free. We out you. We love you.
We sitting here. I'm supposed to be the franchise player. And we in here talking about practice.
Clock at five. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Rebound box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game! Gives it to Jenkins for the championship. He's going for the corner. He's got it. Bases loaded. Two out.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.